Hello.
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 Hello. Welcome to Portlandians, show number 18. Hey, thanks for coming back. This is Portlandians. I'm Sam. We're starting a new Real Guys series. If you've heard the other Real Guys series, you kind of know what that means. Real Guys are just some of my favorite people in the world. The other shows was Rigel, the Anonolosopher, and DP. This time around, we got show favorite Rigel.
And they're finding that some of these changes can be transmitted to the next generation.
A new to you, one of the real guys, named Mark.
Where identical twins could be separated at birth and raised in different environments, and then have children by the same man.
And another new one, unbelievable with the newness, named Wesley Conifer.
I was liking what you were saying earlier today about, you know, like our upbringings. And I was almost wondering if you couldn't tie that in with, like, how it helped create our whole entire belief systems. Like,
Okay, so that was a clip of something that was actually the idea for this entire show. This was kind of the overarching theme. But seeing as how the Real Guys shows are just me and some of my best friends sitting and talking about whatever comes up. We never got to that, even though it was the entire theme of the show. We never got there. It's fine. We'll get to it at another show. No problem. However, it's kind of ironic because that theme was one of the base reasons that I actually started this entire podcast, which was to figure out who the hell I am and what the hell my problem is. In the interest of doing that, I started going to therapy. One of the reasons is I would like to figure out why I keep sabotaging relationships. I seem to have a strategy much resembling the fishing technique of catch and release. I'm not a fan of that. I do not like that I do that. But I kind of can't help myself, and I would like to figure out how to stop. It's either that I'm completely, deathly afraid of being in a relationship, or I just don't want to be in a relationship, and maybe I'm the person that's not made for that kind of thing, and I should just accept it and move on. I want to know. I also, at this point in my life, I have never been less confident in my decision-making than I am right now. I basically don't know what to do in every area of my life. And I would like to stop feeling like that. I would like to be able to make decisions that positively affect me and help me move on. There's a lot of stuff I just can't figure out. Is it narcissistic? Am I narcissistic? Is it narcissistic to be standing in front of a place with a sign that says Token Square and wonder if they're making fun of me? It sounds maybe it's paranoia, because it's implying somebody from the 50s is traveling through time just to make fun of me. Or maybe that's back to narcissism. All over again. I don't know. Maybe I just think too much about things. Sometimes I think that, and then I think I shouldn't be thinking this, because it's more thinking. But I think it's an example of me thinking too much about something like this. I was using a map at work the other day, and it said 1 inch equals 1 mile, and I thought, obviously this was invented by a man. Nobody else thought it was funny. So I'm going to quit. Sometimes I feel totally okay. Sometimes I feel like, the other day I saw a guy walking a dog, fine. With an umbrella, fine. probably a tourist. That's fine. Here's the thing. He was using the umbrella to shield the dog. Not himself and the dog. Just the dog. Holding a leash of a dog in one hand, holding an umbrella in the other hand, getting rained on while he's holding it over the dog's head. And I thought, that guy makes me feel okay. That guy makes me feel like I'm sane. I want to hang out with him. And I'll be like those girls that only hang out with girls that are uglier than they are, so then they're always the best-looking one everywhere they go throughout their life. I'll be the guy that hangs out with people that are just a little bit more crazy than they are, just so I'll feel sane. That's a strategy. We'll see. Try it out. So, needless to say, I haven't figured anything out yet. But it has given me a new idea. You might call it a scheme or a scam. I like to call it an idea. And I like to think of it as being helpful and thrifty. And it's also a fun social experiment. I think people should go to couples therapy with someone they're not dating. So you split the cost 50-50. At least. Maybe both of you can be in a relationship, just not with each other. And you split the cost four ways. Instead of you paying for it by yourself. $150 a visit. Jesus Christ. $80 a visit. Holy shit. Split it four ways. Not so bad. Spread the help. And then the other side of it is it's a social experiment. But it's kind of a social experiment on the therapist. Because you're basically just trying to see if they can figure out what the fuck is happening before they need therapy themselves. The nice thing is, if they do, they know how to fix themselves. There you go. Okay, so let's get to the show. Here's us avoiding talking about ourselves. But we'll get to it soon. You know, just gotta take care of, you know, some other stuff. You know, it's really important. Next thing on the list. Swear to God. I don't really believe in God, but I swear. Here it is.
How's the rest of everybody's day?
Jesus.
It was good.
I was asking Jesus.
You were asking Jesus how our days were?
Who else would know?
His dad.
That's true.
His dad's the one that got him out of all that trouble with the Romans.
What are you doing with that bag?
Oh, this is your birthday present.
Did you just hop a train? What's that do?
It's a contrast. Contrast.
Wow.
Porto. Nice.
No. Wow.
Dallas is crazy into this stuff. And I think it's mostly because it's a Juggalo thing.
It's a shitty soda that Juggalos are into for some reason.
It's like their bragging point is that they have more sugar than and caffeine than any other soda.
Oh, really? Wow.
Big 24. That's what they used to call me.
When you were 25.
Before the operation. Thank you, Rigel.
Hey!
Oh, nice. Oh, this is sweet. It's like a mini basement. It is half basement.
Half Elsbaum's covered.
The man cave.
Nice. Help yourself to the snack table.
Marcus, how's it going, man?
There's wine and water, and now there's port. I need to get a knife.
It's going to be home to be a normal human being. Here you go.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you. Oh,
I bet it's some.
Yeah, it's one of those.
I also got Samson Fago.
Yeah. Is that like a Juggalo drink?
My little bro turned me on to it.
So what is that you're twisting open?
Porto.
Porto.
Port.
Do you guys like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
What?
Do you like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the new
season? I haven't watched the new stuff, though. I've watched, like, every episode of the first three seasons, I think.
And, like, I've only watched the first season.
So Charlie gets a job as a janitor at the high school. And he, like, goes in the bathroom while these kids are beating up this drug a little kid. And he's got, like, fucking clown mask on and shit. And he's like, I'm going to take you under my wing. He's like, you're going to be my little project. And he brings him down to the principal's office. And he's like, they're beating this kid up in there. And he's like, well, he's not supposed to wear clown makeup in school. He's like, but they're so mean to him. Why can't he wear clown makeup? Like, it's against school policy. Let's just do this. Let's just let him wear clown makeup. And I'll protect him. I promise to protect him. And the kid's like, juggalos for life. God, this funny ass juggalo shit. It's fucking so ridiculous. And the gem of the season so far is Frank's Little Beauties, where he gets accused of being a pedophile. So to prove he's not a pedophile, he starts a child beauty contest. Where, like, he overcompensates to make sure everyone knows that he's not abusing the kids.
That's beautiful. Have you ever seen the one where Charlie volunteers to be a ref for, like, a elementary school basketball game?
Oh, that is one of the best ones I've ever seen.
Too far away.
When he shows up drunk to ref one of the games, and he's like, literally 10-year-old, 12-year-old kids are like going up for shots, and he's just like running full speed, full length court, and smashing the ball into the
teams, and he picks all the black kids.
And he's like, and they're like, what are you doing here? He's like, what? What do you mean? He's like, you know what you're doing. No, what? I don't understand what you mean. Just say it. That's good stuff.
You're here.
What's that? You're living here. Oh, yeah, Endless Tales. Been living nanny for two kids. That just ended, so I'm looking for a place.
Tell them why.
Looking for.
Should I mention the incident? Sam, I said I didn't want to talk about this.
Oh, no.
No, nothing really happened.
Did he enter them in a beauty competition?
No.
A beauty competition?
No. But it was not a dream job, but monetarily, it was nice. I was getting paid $1,000 a month to hardly ever work, and I lived for free. Just basically
save some money then on that.
But it was only 2.5 months. So we tried it out, realized didn't really need me living in the house. So looking for a place.
Yeah. Life's been an interesting phase.
Life's been good to you so far?
No, actually, I don't think it has for the last 2 months. Doctor's visits, cameras into my throat, had a hemorrhage, vocal cord, sleeping problems. I honestly feel like life's been
lost
good.
Lost the ability to say prepositions?
Lost the ability to speak, actually, and had to hang out with people because I couldn't talk.
What happened to you?
Just a hemorrhage, I don't know.
From singing too much?
I like those shoes.
Thanks.
Is that a good topic change?
It was from Avoiding Questions.
Avoiding
Questions? Is that a book? I need that book.
But fast forwarding to now, I'm psyched you're back in town, man.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Fucking be a normal human being again.
Yeah, you've been...
Hot showers, sleep in a bed.
I expected you to have, like, a beard.
Oh, I did. I wish I had a picture. I grew a beard out for the last... I grew two beards this summer, and I shaved one when I came back for my birthday.
Do you still have them?
Yeah, I saved them in a bag.
How was life as Bear Grylls?
It was awesome. But, the day-to-day was awesome.
Two beards at once?
No, the second beard I got it super big, like... Yeah, definitely longer than Sam's got now. Oh, yeah. And then left the mustache and shaved it down here.
Shaved the middle out?
Yeah, with like the full chops. With the mustache. It's just like the
I had that a couple here. Years ago.
But you were coming back to the city, so you had to
get it. Oh, well, no, I came back to the city. I went to Hump. the amateur porn thing with it, and like the 70s vintage sweater, like this tight fucking pants on, and this thing, and I rocked it for a couple days, and then I got rid of it, and then I looked at a picture of it, and I was like, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Getting rid of it?
Yeah. Okay, I should have rocked it for at least, like, you know, a while.
Yeah, I had the chops a couple years ago, and I got rid of it just because I saw too many, like, hipster douchebags with, like, the exact same chops.
Did you ever do the reverse Hitler? Grow a full beard and then just shave?
Oh, my God. Oh,
just the Hitler patch out.
Oh, that facial hair will never be cool again.
Oh.
Hitler?
No, I mean, just like, I mean, I'm sure in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, like, thousands of men rocked that mustache.
The only people I've ever seen with it are Hitler and Michael Jordan.
Charlie Chaplin.
Underwear commercial. Charlie Chaplin.
Did Jordan do it?
He did it in a fucking underwear commercial, like, a few years ago.
Should I can kind of
are
picture
you fucking it. Kidding me?
Should I go for it?
Just a little... dreadlock Hitler.
Oh, man.
I wonder if there's still people in, like, Germany or Austria that have the surname Hitler. Like, it's my family name. I'm not going to change it.
Or Himmler. Or
change the
name.
Oh,
yeah.
It's
got to
be a lot of people. With the initials SS.
So in Arcata, since I moved away, you started getting really bad when I lived there, but there's like this whole like public fear campaign through this one newspaper. It was started by a wealthy family, and the guy that runs it, who's named Hoover, last name Hoover. Relation. Not no relation, relation. Related to J. Edgar Hoover. And
or Jenker.
He is he's the reporter, the editor. And the editorial reporter and writer for the paper. So he, like, will write a newspaper article, write an editorial about it, respond to letters to the editor. It's such a little journalistic integrity there. So he started this campaign to, like, basically get rid of all the pot growers in Arcata. Like, and started this, like, fear and intimidation tactics. Like, he was, he looked up every rental property, non-residence-owned, residence-occupied house, sent out thousands of form letters saying, like, your house in your neighborhood is at risk, like, these people are dangerous criminals, yada, yada, yada. And then started this whole public hotline to, like, rat on your neighbors and started this whole relationship with the police department. But the police department ends up, they're getting enough busts and seizing enough assets that they could start, this is a town of 18,000 people, their own police division, just full-time dedicated to, busting marijuana cultivation. And they called it the Special Services Unit. The SS. Yes. So the SS is fucking, like, on a witch hunt for fucking medical marijuana growers. It was...
And they realized that that's, like, 50% of the economy for that county, right?
50%, like, 90, probably 95% of the economy. Because all the big employers are gone. The
timber, right, yeah.
Well,
nobody wants to work.
There's California Redwood Company, who now is, like, very sustainable with their land use practices and very heavily regulated, but they have, like, one small mill. All the other mills shut down, and then the paper company was bought by a Chinese company, and they ran it for a while and did all these upgrades, and then the EPA wanted them to, like, build this filtration and pipeline system, and they're like, we'll just take the pulp to China. And they close that. So there's, like, no corporate employers in the county. So, but it's funny to be in a small town and have, like, a fucking full-on witch hunt on.
Mm-hmm.
My friend...
How hard could it be?
It's... Exactly.
But how bad are they at their job?
The cops?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean...
it's, like, 50% of households. They estimate, like, 50% of households there are growing marijuana. You know. Anyway...
Like an hour. I wanted to talk about this. Remember we saw that billboard for this?
Oh, yeah.
Kavalia?
Yeah.
Have you heard about this?
Dude. Anybody? I don't know if any of you guys are single. So, you take a woman to the horse fantasy show.
Booyah! Panty dropper!
Uh-huh. Yo, this is like what we were talking about how people, like, you're talking about it from a photography point of view, about how, like, do you learn, like, 2-3 things about photography, and then you look at any ad, and you're like, who the fuck did they get for this? This is awful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the kid, what was that place? I don't even know what it was. All My Son's Storage or something.
Oh, yeah.
And they had, like, one of the guy's sons on the billboard, and he looks like he's like a 7-year-old kid, and he looks like he's wearing lipstick.
Then, yeah, we suddenly we look at it, and he's all flush, and he looks like lipstick on.
And the two S's and sons are dollar bills.
Yeah, because he's using his sons to make money.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, this is what I'm talking about. People, it doesn't matter if the product you have is worth a shit, or even if the people you have selling it are worth the shit. It just matters how much money you have and how many places you can advertise it.
And the fact that you can get the front page of the fucking Oregonian to be an ad
for your instead of the news.
Your little play, right? Cavalia, a magical encounter between human and horse. Seriously? That's what you... Really? You have a play about bestiality? Or you're okay with people thinking that maybe that's what it's about? And then,
it's you saucy. Have,
this is their artwork. A horse whose shadow is 2 human beings.
Oh, my God. It's really bad.
And then, first quote, the greatest show I've ever seen, Larry King.
The greatest show I've ever seen.
Larry King. Is anyone that goes to plays a fan of Larry King? Is there a crossover there?
I would imagine more people who would go to plays would be into Larry King than us.
Be more into Larry King than they are into us?
Probably.
A mega scale production on every level. Okay, they spent a lot of money on it, so I should spend money on it? What does that mean?
You know what's funny is if we all went, we'd like if this were a movie, we'd cut to the scene where it's the end of Cavalier, and we're all crying and holding each other and talking about how it was breathtaking.
I was totally single.
Oh,
I would buy tickets to Cavalier for fucking hottest girl you find, and take it there and things up, and I'd be like, "We'll go horseback riding next weekend."
Mm-hmm. You still with...
Done. Done. There's no way. No way.
You still with Girly Boo?
Andrea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
I mean, we haven't been together for 6 months, so we'll see what reality is
actually.
Before her, the previous two women I dated were from families with money and the West Coast. And I'm like...
She's so East Coast girl,
over
too.
It. And so I'm with some East Coast like me... And it's like this adjustment. Because you got to be like, sometimes you got to be like, shut the fuck up. Shut your fucking mouth. Shut your fucking mouth. Like, you're acting stupid. Like, fucking knock it off.
Some people don't take kindly to that.
Yeah, I know. I still feel bad about the time I said that to that girl, Nikki, in the parking car one time.
It's hard to roll that back.
Yeah.
Hey! Hey! Hey!
There's a dude that, like, actively works the parking lot right there. Like, sells crap. Like, I pick up Chore Boy in my front yard all the time.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Chore Boy?
What's that?
It's like the copper scrub pads and people use them to put in crack pipes.
Wow.
Use Troll Boy. It's like
a street knowledge. There.
It's like a screen.
Yeah. It's almost first-hand knowledge.
Yeah. I've smoked.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Ouch. That was a nice one.
What's that?
It sucks. It sucks. It's like you're out of... It's like your skin's crawling. Skin's crawling off, like, out of your body. Like, I don't understand how anybody likes it.
Hmm.
God damn it.
Just that face alone that you just did. I never do it again.
Addiction, then.
I mean, it's super right. rushy.
I mean,
euphoric. I think it's like doing too much cocaine.
Wait a second.
Like what's concentrated cocaine?
So if you're smoking coke, is that just crack? Right. Period. Is that how it's defined?
It's combined with baking soda and water.
Because I did something when I was living in Santa Barbara that
turbos.
No, I mean,
a little coke and weed.
We smoked it. Ugh. I can't really get back to like.
Oh, I guess that's like crack.
It's not the same as like smoking a crack rock, though.
Crack is just like super concentrated, right?
It's not even that.
Do they add something to it, or
baking soda and water?
I don't think that it's that concentrated, but you have to like it's baking soda, water, and yeah, and you boil it in water, and it like coagulates with the baking soda and dry the rocks out. But it's like I'm only guessing, but I think because the delivery method is it's just cocaine in the rock in there, you have to get it really hot to burn it.
Yeah, because you don't burn it directly. That's why you put it in like the.
Yeah, you put it on a piece of chore boiler, so you get that like copper scrubby pad. And
you can edit this part out.
And are we being recorded right now? Huh? Oh, nice. you guys don't know how to smoke crack?
No, I've never even seen it.
Oh, so like yeah, it's like the copper stuff. You stuff it in there, and it's so that like
I am from South Central New Hampshire.
The heat can dissipate a little bit when you're smoking. You have to get it really hot, so you're inhaling the shit out of it. And I don't know. Smoking turbos is different.
I've heard
that is what I did in Santa Barbara.
In a light bulb, and then heat up the glass, and it just produces vapor, and then breathe in that.
Light bulb?
Or something that it's not a direct flame on whatever you're burning.
Yeah, it's way too much processing.
That's how people smoke
meth. Jesus Christ. It's like eating, like, fucking tofurkey or something.
It's exactly like that.
Piece of kale, for crying out loud. What the fuck?
My experience is different than the weed. Explanation you said, because
God, that's exactly kale what I did. Right now!
And it was instantly, like, after that night, it was never, ever, ever do that again.
Yeah.
Because it was instantly sat back, I just remember sitting back onto a couch, and, like, the next person did it. And I remember the feeling was of, I mean, or you know, I don't know what it was. It's probably the absence of feeling. You can't really get back to that feeling anymore. But honestly, after that night, like, after, like, that hour or hour and a half of us doing that, I was like, never do that again. That was way stronger than you were. It felt way too good. I, in that moment, realized why people ended up at the other side of the spectrum with nothing on the street. Like, right, in that moment, yeah. It felt so, like, that whole night, and I realized how badly, actually, like, as we watched it deplete through the night and we were partying, like, this feeling came up of, like, not wanting it to be gone, and, like, it was strong and powerful. It was an unbelievable night where like it scared the fuck out of me because I was like I saw how I was reacting to, for example, my last, like, I knew that was gonna be my last hit, like, you know, we're just going around in the circle and you're just like, yeah, it was so much more powerful than a human. it was like
that's kind of what I've heard.
I was like, and I mean, it could be what it's cut with, it could be your experience, it could be who you're with, so it could be, variables. I don't know, yeah, all the variables, but mine was like, note to self, never do it again. Okay, here's, now we'll reveal the lowest.
I'd be fine with that. If somebody gave me, like, hey, we're going to be working in this field, here's some coca leaves, we're going to work like 12, 13 hours, I'd be like, fuck yeah.
That's what Ava Morales
set me up. Give me Ava Morales bag of the cocaine, crack, blah.
That's what Ava Morales tried to do.
He was like, imagine.
Because they have all these coca leaf products in Bolivia and Argentina and Brazil. And you guys, obviously, you've all had mate.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so, like,
what?
So,
are you talking to us or the listeners?
Like, coca tea is to mate as mate is to coffee.
I love it.
Like, if you have coca leaf tea,
yeah. I've got a plant.
Yeah. So it's like the cleanest, like non-crash, like energy that you can get.
And 5-hour energy.
Yeah, oh, that's just B vitamin overdose. But
Ever Morales is
but
like...
That, I mean, that's kind of like... I'm like, anytime I see a commercial for that or hear somebody talk about it, I'm like, fucking latte, what's wrong with you?
No, but Ever Morales is like, why? He's like, we have all these products.
Long hours, you know
all these
I mean?
Products in South America that are, like, could be marketed as just, like,
and yours got stolen.
Natural stimulants, like, healthy natural stimulants. And, like, he went for the United Nations and held up the coca leaf and was like, please let us sell, like, sell this shit legitimately because it's not dangerous.
Yeah.
And if it was normalcy, like, if you, okay, why do people do cocaine? Like, sense of euphoria, like, social connection. They could stay up all night and drink until the fucking sun comes up and feel fine. Well, if over-the-counter coca products that weren't, like, refined like that were available, like, you could stay up all night long with coca leaf tea. Mm-hmm. It's like for super popular for capoeira bautizados because you sing for, like, 6 hours, singing all night, playing capoeira all night. And it numbs your vocal cords, keeps your throat from drying out.
Whoa. Like,
super energetic, no crash.
That's amazing.
Like, no, it's going to be the new coffee.
It's just another symbiotic thing, like, that develops, or you know, people develop in an area of the world. And...
So you got, you said plants, you know, like they're in a certain part of the world and like it makes sense for people's environment. There's this doctor in Mendocino County, Dr. David Courtney, and he's been applying with the FDA for over a decade at least to get a sample size medical grade marijuana from the U.S. government to test to prove his theories, and he can't get it. So he's been doing all the scientific research kind of off the books, but none of it can be published because he didn't take legitimate channels to look into it. So he...
Is this possible? If it's probably not legal. If he was to ask a medical marijuana patient who has a card to donate it to the study, is that something
no, this is legal? It's against federal law, so he can't publish that. He can't get this published in like the New England Journal of Medicine because they're going to be like... That's illegal. He might be able to go to Israel and do it, or might be able to go to Spain or France and do it, but I don't know. So his theory is this, and like other scientists and botanists are doing this. So a plant becomes useful to human beings and their immediate environment. Coca, marijuana, things, maybe foods, but that when we start co-evolving with plants...
Immunities.
Yeah, immunities, yeah. Allergies even, mm-hmm. That viruses, because they attach to a strand of DNA, can actually transmit genetic code between plants and humans. And it's a theory right now. But
wow.
So, like, why do people have wheat and corn allergies? Well, maybe we've been co-evolving with wheat for so long that at some point, there's been genetic crossover.
Some virus that has some bit of corn DNA in there.
And a lot...
Or like, are you saying like a virus that like wheat is susceptible to this certain...
Yeah, a virus
that we're susceptible
yeah,
to?
Yeah, a virus that can move between plants and human beings. Mm-hmm. And...
Wow.
Because he started looking at all the cannabinoids. All the cannabinoids that... Like not THC, not the psychoactive drugs, but all the other chemicals that... Constituent chemicals, cannabinoid chemicals, and... There's certain ones that are released like naturally in the brain at specific times. Like DMT is the pineal gland chemical for death. So people do DMT and it's like the exact same chemical that is released at the moment of death. And
wow.
So he's found cannabinoids that are the exact same chemicals that are released at the moment of conception. And exact same chemicals that are involved with Alzheimer's disease.
Hmm.
Like the degeneration of the brain and like the maintenance of the brain. Like what goes wrong in your brain where your brain starts breaking itself down, like losing brain chemicals. Well, it's a cannabinoid. But he's got some pretty mind blowing shit up there.
That brings to mind two things which I've been hearing about
one of the emerging sciences of the last 10 years or so is epigenetics. Because it's how genes are expressed. Because identical twins have identical genes, but if they live in wildly different environments, they will grow up and develop in different ways. Because your experiences, your environment, what you're exposed to, how much you exercise, what you eat, all gets related into how your genes and how strongly your genes are expressed.
Or like even like replication, like through.
Right. Or like whether or not like you could be susceptible to some disease due to a specific gene, but you might not get it if you never like smoke in your life.
Okay.
But, and they're finding that some of these changes can be transmitted to the next generation. Like, if you lived in a very polluted area when you were in your teens, then even if your kids don't live in that same area, they'll still be susceptible to specific types of lung cancer or specific autoimmune diseases.
So you could do, like, an incest experiment. Where identical twins could be separated at birth and raised in different environments and then have children by the same man.
And you could test this. And you
double blind trial. Yeah.
You could be that man.
So
you could be the man.
Finally, a and, use for twins.
And I am the
You'll
man.
Be the father so you, of so thousands of children.
You'd have kids who are cousins, but be as closely related as they'd be essentially brothers. Like, not, they'd be like fraternal twins, practically.
But it would test the twin theory. Crazy. It's like genetic drift, basically. Like, but no. Genetic drift, like, through, not, like, breeding genetic drifts, but, like, genetic drift through, like,
it'd like
actual
it'd be like the Habsburgs. And that also reminds me of the theory that, like, we have specific cannabinoid receptors, possibly because smoking cannabinoids when we were, like...
kids.
Cavemen. Evolutionary kids.
Yeah.
Mankind was... Ooh, mankind ooh, as child.
This guy.
I like it.
Like, smoking weed around the campfire helped people to, like, bond as, like, familial or clan units. Uh-huh. And those people who didn't bond by smoking weed around the campfire, they all got killed by wolves.
Wait,
off on their own, away from the fire in the dark?
Or...
Yeah,
like it helped us survive, like kin selection, that kind of stuff.
You can't get along with people, you're not going to be able to be in a group. And if you're not in a group, you're easier to pick off.
Right, and those people that responded more to the cannabinoids... like, happened to have receptors, they became the dominant receptor because they were more likely to survive. Because early humans needed a lot of cooperation to survive.
I don't know, can I do a little side note?
What's that?
Quick side note. I've heard that there's a lot of thought. Anthropology and archaeology circles that beer... is
same kind of
the
thing,
reason
yeah.
for
civilization.
The reason the civilization began, anyways. Obviously, now it's for money and plastic things, Kardashian news.
But beer?
Back in the day, everybody was fine with hunting and gathering. And
I was always fine with that.
More of the gathering. Anyways, but. And somehow, maybe accidentally, in a clay pot somewhere, somebody accidentally fermented some wheat and made beer, and they're like, oh, that feels interesting.
There's more of this wheat.
Yeah. How can we make, okay, we know how to make it. Oh, we need to be able to sit, I don't want to carry this with me for
Yeah, how
months.
Am I going to get more wheat?
So
yeah.
We got to stop here and start
here.
Growing more barley. Because if we keep moving around and killing things, we're not going to be able to have this stuff.
And probably it was probably eventually like fruit or something.
Maybe when they first found it, their killing went up because they got better and they were like more focused on hunting. But then the longer they stayed, the more distracted they became because they imbibed more, like too much, you know? Like maybe at first when we found substances, we like used it in one way or I don't know.
I love the conjecture of like how people first made cheese and just like milk that they had in like their bladder bag on their camel or something. They're walking
such beautiful words together.
Yeah.
Bladder bag.
I'm so hungry. So
bladder bag.
Nomads trekking across the desert and like
this guy, evolutionary kids and bladder bag.
The guy forgets about the milk that he has in his bag and it's like comes to it a couple days later, it's like, oh, what's in this bag? What's this stuff?
Cottage cheese.
Yeah, it's like, I'm really hungry. I'm going to die if I don't have anything, so I might as well try this. It's like, it's interesting. Someone leaves his cheese, like, in a cave for a few weeks. Like, what's this mold in it? It's blue cheese.
You know what someone was discussing the other day was, sex. Like, sex back then, like, there weren't,
like different...
Like, there weren't walls. There weren't compartments. There was no, like, I'm going to my room to have sex. There was no, like...
It was a communal,
there wasn't even the words for that, but there was... Yeah, yeah, there was,
spaces.
Like... There was no separate rooms for I don't even know how long. So I wonder when in history there became, rooms. Or, like, they started being, like, I'm going to go off to the bushes. You know, like, when did they start being, like, self-conscious about it?
Start needing
their, like, own space to do it.
Probably until religion came into it, because before that, it was part of life.
Yeah, but it was part of life, but you were like, okay, the kids are around, they're young, were you like, you know, you're like spooning, they'd be like, shh. Or like, you know, like, I don't know, you've got like 15 people in the room, or are you just like stovepiping your wife, like grandma.
That's how it was at some point. At some point it must be, because you're not leaving, like, the protected space. No one ever talks about, it's not documented anywhere, like, where it started to switch, like, where...
Have you ever read Clan of the Caper?
I've seen it.
Saw the movie a million years ago.
Daryl Hannah, Doggy Style. That's the only part I remember, Daryl Hannah, Doggy Style.
I think
it was in the credits.
The books are pretty well written, but one of the things is, like, there's a lot of pretty graphic sex in there, because the main character kind of figures out the relationship between sex and procreation.
John DeLon.
Yes.
John DeLon.
Is that sex?
That's the word for sex?
That's the name of the...
The male protagonist.
Strapping caveman protagonist.
That's a pretty good name.
I'm surprised. That'd be a great name for a band.
It's a great name for like a solo white rapper.
But anyway, in the last couple of books, they've been with his people, and they live in caves. And they talk a lot about that, like, it's just part of life. Like, they try and be quiet, but everyone kind of realizes, like, everyone has their own space. It's kind of like the Japanese, like, you're just kind of trained not to overhear what's going on at the next fire pit.
Actually, you know what?
Chicken butt.
I don't think we can have any fucking clue what it was like, because... Look how much has changed between our kids and our generation.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. With the iPhone, the computer, the ability for us to all sit in the same room but not interact at all, just in our one lifetime.
Oh, I gotta check this text.
You know what I mean?
What'd you say?
So, like, if we look at how... like, this is the reason why old people sound like old people. Like, when we were younger, like, they sound old. Now we realize that it's because shit changes so fucking fast.
Especially in the last century.
We end up saying things like, we used to have a rotary phone, or there used to be, like, pay phones.
You're never going to say that shit when we're old, or you're going to be like, I used to use a rotary phone, and people are going to be like,
I feel like that already happens, and we're not even old yet.
Amigos?
But that would be like your
moment of silence. Classic.
No, but that's technological. That's a crazy dip. Like, that would be like your parents being like, I remember when there's just horses and buggies. Like, it's happened. It's not even that fast.
Oh, it's speeding up.
That's what I mean.
It is speeding up. But so each generation has gone so... There's been so much change that we're talking about caves. Like, that's how many generations? Like, I don't even know if we can get back to, like... We're using, like, modern minds to try and dissect ancient minds. Mm-hmm. We're so far from it. We're trying to... Actually, maybe our primal is still built into us. So maybe some of the basics are still the same. Like,
wouldn't it be crazy? Sexual
urges probably are all still like,
yeah, but
except they moved
so
on it like, yeah, like we don't move on it now. So we move on it like this. Hi.
Yeah.
They probably moved on it more like a tiger moves on a fucking rabbit. That's probably like,
there wasn't etiquette.
Oh, there was etiquette, but, like, in their own terms.
And now it's time for...
Lugs. All right. Gotta do it. You ready? I hope you like what you're hearing. I think maybe you do, if you got this far. So help me out. I love doing this. Go to iTunes, go to podcasts, search for Portlandians. We're the one that's called Portlandians. Comment on it. Rate it. All those things help me out. Help me get more listeners through iTunes. Also, if you're in the Screen Actors Guild or the Academy, you know, the one that gives out the Oscars, and you want to write me in for one of those, that would be great. I'm not an actor, but it would still be nice to win one of those. Okay. Also, a real-life thing that you can do is go to portlandians.com, and the sidebar on the right, there's a donate button. You can donate through PayPal. That will help me do research, have more time for writing bits, doing research, preparing for and getting more and bigger guests. I need to hire someone to help me out with some computer stuff. I also need to buy more gear. It'll give me more time to work on producing the show and making it better. Also, you can buy my record. I have a band called Temperature and Pressure. We put a record out a few years ago. If you go to bandcamp.com/temperatureandpressure, you can buy an entire album of 40 minutes of music for $4. Ridiculous. Also, I think it's like 90 cents a song or something silly, too. That would be great. Sponsors. If you know anybody who owns Stumptown Coffee, Ground Control, CD Baby, Crave Dog, Night Owl Records, any of these things, the Elks Lodge. If you know the head of the Elks, tell them to sponsor us. Anybody. Just send them a little hint. You know, hey, check this out. I bet your customers would like this. Be sure to go to portlandians.com to check out the pictures and the video that accompany this very show that you are listening to right now. And also click on the donate button. No, really.
You've had to listen to plugs.
Thanks for listening to Portlandians Podcast. Portlandians was created by Sam Davis, written by Sam Davis, produced by Sam Davis, recorded by Sam Davis, edited by Sam Davis, website startup and management by Sam Davis, starring Sam Davis, and music by Sam Davis. If we didn't say who it was by, specifically either before, during, or after the song, then it was a song indeed by Sam Davis. That's correct. This is Sam Davis. Thanks for playing. Talk to you soon.